Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, everybody, welcome in. It's another edition of the Lombardi Line, live from downtown Las Vegas at our Circa Sportsbook Studios. We are not Stormy nor Michael. This is a fun exercise we've done in the past, Jonathan Von Tobel. Yes,
you're often confused for Stormy.
We look very...
It's the similar. Blue eyes.
Definitely. That's what we'll go with. Mm-hmm. That's definitely what we'll go with. JVT is here. I'm Ben Wilson. L.A. Bowman, our producer behind the glass. Big NBA day. It's a big reason why we have you here. Not just for that.
But I was going to say, not because I'm good at my job or anything.
but no, we're talking to NBA playoffs with our senior NBA betting analyst, Jonathan Von Tobel. We'll have some NHL talk. Full breakdown of the NFL draft now that we get that postmortem Monday with the draft all wrapped up. On the show today, Thomas Gable, as he joins pretty much every Monday, Sportsbook Director over at the Borgata on the East Coast, Von Dalzell, who's been a frequent contributor here on VSiN, betting analyst with NBC Sports Edge, joins us a little bit later this hour as well. And then we'll get the whole draft breakdown in hour number two. Thor Nystrom from Betting Pros stops by with his draft grades and our Monday tradition. Mike Pritchard, VSiN host, stops by at 1:30 on the East Coast. So we'll get into full draft thoughts coming up in a little bit, JVT, but NBA playoffs.
Great.
Wow. Game 7 yesterday, Steph Curry just goes off, and as soon as we were kind of doing the whole thing, I kind of felt like we got ahead of ourselves a little bit, like, oh boy, this could be the 23-year revenge tour for the Kings-Lakers, and then Steph Curry said, I'm still here, guys.
Yeah.
I'm still like the title crown trophy holder.
Yeah, I think, look, I think it was rightfully so that people were getting excited about Sacramento. This was a series that, remember, opened up, what, minus 290 in some spots? Yeah. Before it began, and that was clearly a series price that was wrong. This was a Kings team that is a lot more adequate than you realize. And also, I mean, I would argue, we'll talk about the future, you know, in the offseason, one dominant wing piece away from being a very competitive team in the NBA, like in terms of competing for a championship. I don't know, maybe call up the Los Angeles Clippers, see if they want to trade Kawhi Leonard, but that's another thing.
yes, it is.
But the Golden State Warriors, look, I think there's a lot of things you take from this, right? It's first off, this is still a very flawed Warriors team, Ben. I mean, when you're talking about going into that game yesterday, the fact that the Warriors had a negative 33.3 net rating in the minutes in which Steph Curry did not play in the series, that's a problem as you move forward in the postseason. You know, he played 38 minutes, but he was going to get ready to play about 40, 45 if they needed to. But ultimately, mm-hmm. he takes over in the second half. They start to pull away. And if you're going to get performances like what Clay did yesterday, starting 1 of 10 and starting to kind of even out there in the second right. half, like this is a pretty flawed Warriors team. So I think if you kind of thought that this was the time where this might start to fall apart, it was understandable. But there are times, you know me, I like a lot of data and analytics and numbers. And there are times where you put those aside and you just look at, hey, I'm a really good player and I'm going to drag this team by the scruff of their neck, me and Kevon Looney, because Looney was awesome on the glass. And we're going to win this game because we have more experience. I'm the best player on the court. And that's exactly what transpired yesterday. Curry was absolutely fantastic. Kevon Looney setting records for most offensive rebounds in a single quarter by a player. The first player since Dwight Howard to have three games in a series in which he had over 20 rebounds. Like, the guy's been fantastic, and those two are a really big reason why they are now set to take on the Los Angeles Lakers in the next round.
And it's one of those games where you think from the general – like the casual betting and just the overall media perspective from the NBA, you watch just a transcendent game like a Steph Curry, first ever 50-point game in a Game 7 mm-hmm. in the NBA playoffs. We have the soundbite from head coach Steve Kerr that is going to, it's not like people will take this and go even further, but people already in a tizzy over what Steph has done. And as we play the soundbite from Steve Kerr, I'm going to wonder how this will impact the betting markets going forward as people watch what they just saw on a national stage Sunday and how this now turns forward.
He doesn't surprise me. We all take him for granted because he's brilliant night after night, and we've been watching this for 10 years. And we just, you just have to remind yourself every once in a while, big picture, this is one of the great players in the history of the game. But that's how I felt, back when in my playing days, with Michael Jordan, you'd see it night after night, so you just took it for granted. So that's how it is with Steph. It's over and over and over again. And the resilience and the work that goes into that and the focus, it's incredible to watch.
And especially in a Western Conference, JVT, where the perception has been pretty wide open. There's not one team you feel is dominant than the rest. Isn't this just a natural talking point that now a lot of people will say, all right, we kind of forgot. Golden State, they have the best player. They have a guy who can take over any playoff game at any time. They're only $1.45 to beat the Lakers in round two. Isn't that a bet? Isn't that kind of the logical reaction you think a lot of people will have in the market?
I mean, yes. Yeah, so by the way, Steve Kerr now 19-0 in playoff series versus Western Conference teams. So it does speak to how good this team is once it actually gets into the postseason, and Steph Curry's a big part of it. But I would say yes, but here's the thing. So I think the way you're kind of presenting this, right, is like, okay, immediate reaction, Warriors, let's go and rush to bet this Warriors team, and maybe there's some public push behind it. But I would say that this series price, you're kind of paying a Lakers tax, right? Because everybody all of a sudden, I mean, I was driving into the South Point yesterday for the show, and one of the national radio topics was, are the Lakers the best team in the Western Conference? And it's like, all right, let's pump the brakes. They beat a team beleaguered with injuries in the Memphis Grizzlies, right, that they matched up extremely well with. And I'll also say this too, Ben, because now we have our final four teams in the Western Conference. You see the betting odds here. 2-1 for the Nuggets, Warriors 250, 290 for the Suns, Lakers at plus 350. You saw a lot of people freak out about the betting odds where the Lakers at one point were the second choice to win the Western Conference. But that was because they were waiting for their opponent. Mm-hmm. So like the probability is going to shift there because you don't know who their opponent was. Now, rightfully so, you're saying the Lakers are the fourth-rated team in the Western Conference. They're underdogs in their series with the Warriors for a reason. So I would say to your point, I don't know if this makes people rush to bet the Golden State Warriors. From what I perceive and from what I'm seeing, I think there's a big rush to go and play the Los Angeles Lakers because there's this perception, because they've been playing so well since the All-Star break or since the trade deadline, we'll say, that they are a lot better than they really are, when in reality, I think they matched up very well with the Memphis Grizzlies, and I think that this is a matchup that might work against them as you get into a best of seven with the Golden State Warriors.
And that's always what's fascinating. When you get two very publicly bet teams with two of the foremost stars in the league, and now they combine forces and go head-to-head. I would think another angle that people will look at, even though you have to pay a tax on this, it's the over 5.5 games, which is set at minus 200 at BetMGM. So you're paying a big tax, but because of the flaws that each team has, but because of the star power there, that's, again, another logical reaction, JVT, to think, okay, this seems like a series that will be more of the drag-it-out type situation. You feel like 6 or 7 is a pseudo-lock in this series. Is there a situation where you see this going haywire and going really south really quickly for one of the two teams?
I mean, it's obviously injury, right? Like, if somebody goes down, then, of course, that's going to change things. And for the Warriors, it's Steph Curry. And for the Lakers, it's one of LeBron James or Anthony Davis. And that is a point to be made here because, remember, LeBron James is still dealing with that foot injury that he swears he's not going to have surgery on in the offseason. And even if he does, we'll never know about it. And Anthony Davis is banged up as well. So I would say that this goes haywire in that direction, Ben, because, of course, they have a little bit of issue, either team, in terms of injury. But this does seem on its surface a very evenly matched series, and that one that is going to go relatively long. And the edge goes to the Warriors because they have home court, and because I think at this point right now, this is not like the grand scheme of things, but at this point right now, they do have the best player on the court in Stephen Curry.
No doubt. And game one, too, will be interesting to see what the betting market does, especially what you just said, where you have that public perception coming in on how good LeBron and the Lakers have looked, and you're sitting at a 4.5-point line on the Warriors coming off this 50-point Steph game in game 7. And is there a drop-off at all? Do you see the one game where the Lakers have that extra rest edge? That brings up an interesting point for game one.
So that's the thing. So teams coming off of a game 7 series, 33-51, I think, against the spread in game 1 of the following series. So like that is something where you're looking at it from the standpoint of, okay, think about this. You had a game 7. You had to play all that out. You only get one day of rest. Then you got to go right back. You're playing at home, so that is beneficial to you. It's not like it would be a much worse scenario if they had to go to L.A., right? Because we know how strong home court can be in the postseason. So you kind of understand that if the market's going to come in and back Los Angeles, which I think might be the case, it's a really unfavorable situation. So I would also add to that, Ben, if you are somebody who believes that the Golden State Warriors can win this series, it might behoove you to sit back and see what happens in game 1. Because situationally, it's really tough to turn around after a game 7, then come back and play in a game 1 with just one day off against a team who's had a couple of extra days to get ready and rested. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing that works in the Warriors' favor is that it was a little bit of a smoke show in the second half, where they extended the lead pretty quickly at the end of the third quarter, looked like they were running away with it. I mean, garbage time was started at like the 2:50 mark, 3-minute mark of the fourth quarter, so maybe that helps you out in the grand scheme of things because it wasn't really like a high-leverage game for a good chunk of the second half, but it is definitely not the best scenario for the for the Golden State Warriors.
Right. Yeah, market opened at 4 yesterday as soon as this matchup was announced. Some shops immediately go to 4.5, others sitting at 4, depending on where you look right now. Total has dropped a little bit from 228 down to a market-wide 227.5 there.
And by the way, I want to correct the stat that I gave out. That was straight up. So teams coming off of a Game 7 series, 33-51 straight up in Game 1 of the following series.
And you would presume, though, well, I guess that's probably about similar against the spread, if you're presuming coming off a game seven win.
Yeah.
Obviously, it depends if you're home or road in that game
right.
one. But that is an interesting talking point to look at. We'll also talk about the two games for tonight coming up in our next segment, since we do have a doubleheader there on the Monday card. But the other interesting piece, and talk about injuries, that has been a dominant storyline of these NBA playoffs. Jimmy Butler turns an ankle with 5 minutes to go, but is able to serve as this decoy. Miami continues to find a way somehow, some way. They beat the Knicks by 7. So both underdogs cashed yesterday in the NBA. Warriors is a 1.5-point dog. Under cashes there in Game 7 of that Warriors and Kings series. And then the Knicks come up short, lose by 7 at home to the Heat. But now we wonder, how effective will Jimmy Butler be? Will he play? How effective will Julius Randle be for the Knicks? And will he play in Game 2?
So here's the thing. The market, I think, is clearly, and I think rightfully so, shading this number as if Jimmy Butler's not going to play and as if you're going to get Julius Randle back there on the floor. It's up to 7 in certain spots. The Knicks also fall into the category. We were talking about the scenario right before we came on the air, right? The team at home losing Game 1, coming back in Game 2, generally is a very good bet because of the situations that have taken place. Let me see. I think I've got this in front of me. Let's see. 20. Oh, I think I had this right here. Well, let's see, 12-0 against the spread the last 2 seasons in that scenario.
Mm.
So it's a short sample size. You don't want to make much of it, but it's a strong scenario that a lot of people bet into. And this is coming from the media availability for the Heat. Heat players who spoke today are preparing with the possibility of having to play without Jimmy Butler. And keep in mind, this is the weird part about the schedule now. They're going to play tomorrow. They have 3 days off before they play Game 3. So like this, if you're Miami, you've already taken home court. Jimmy Butler's injured. Give him the day off. You're going to get 4 days of rest to get him ready for Game 3 back at home.
Would make a lot of sense. Maybe if you like the Heat for the series, probably don't get involved before Game 2 from a series perspective. Now that it's flipped, Heat now plus 125 to the Heat's minus 150 after the Heat take Game 1. So both games yesterday in the NBA, dog and under. We'll see how that works out for the games tonight. 2 games that we'll talk about. A lot for us to get to on this Monday edition of the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. I'm Ben Wilson. He's Jonathan Von Tobel. 1 game in already to our Eastern Conference semifinals. That's the Heat 1-0 lead over the Knicks, as we just talked about. The other series starts tonight, JVT. And while the market did peak last night at Celtics laying 10.5, there has been a little bit of buyback. Doubtful is the tag for Joel Embiid, the superstar for Philadelphia. Any sense that like he could actually give it a go and the Sixers have just been slow playing this thing?
Yes. Like I think absolutely. Like that could totally be the case. I have gone on this rant many times. The NBA likes to mess around with these injuries, and it's cloak and dagger. And at the very least, we're at least getting injury designations for Joel Embiid, right? So we at least know that he is doubtful to play. I wouldn't be surprised if he is going to play today. Now, again, doesn't mean he is. The 76ers, if you've kept track of what they've done all season long with Joel Embiid, they have done this even throughout the year. Like he has I don't know how many games did he end up playing, I'll tell you, but I'm willing to bet about 75 to 80% of the games in which Joel Embiid played in the regular season, he was listed as questionable going into the game. Doc Rivers played games with his status throughout. So there's 2 ways to look at it. They're either playing games and that he's ready to go, or they're playing games and that he's never going to play in this series because he's completely unhealthy. But I think it's one or the other. And there's no really like, we really don't know. I think they have an understanding of what his status is going to be. So as we kind of look at this, you understand the buyback because there's going to be rightfully some trepidation as to them playing those types of games. But given that, unless you're on either end of the extremes with a number like this, right? Like if you're out there, somebody who laid, I think, what did it open up? You mentioned 6.5, I think, right?
6.5 was the market open.
So unless you're laying 6.5 of which you got it, like, and you're in a good position there, there's no reason to get involved at this point. There's you just want to sit back. You want to wait for the information to see whether he's available. You can wait until you're in game. But Ben, I am someone of the mindset, and the series preview is up on the website of VSiN.com if you want to check it out. I'm somebody of the mindset who thought even if Joel Embiid was going to be healthy, that this was a series that was going to be relatively quick and in favor of Boston because of the matchups and the advantages that the Celtics have in this series, right? You have two bodies to throw at Joel Embiid that you're feeling relatively comfortable that you can just sit back and let that happen one-on-one, Al Horford and Robert Williams. You don't have to send doubles at him like the Brooklyn Nets did consistently, allowing then the Philadelphia 76ers to generate 17.5 wide-open three-point attempts per game because that ball was swinging around because they consistently sent doubles and triples at Joel Embiid. So you could sit back and do that. In the regular season, this team went 3-1 straight up, 4-0 against the spread against the 76ers. And the one game that they lost, Joel Embiid needed 52 points on 23 of 25 shooting to beat him by 2 points. Yeah. And they didn't have Jaylen Brown and they didn't have Robert Williams. Like, I think this is a matchup that really works in Boston's favor. So given no Embiid potentially, you understand why the market's here. But I do think that the way you can look at this, and there's still some series prices out there, DraftKings still had under 5.5 games at about minus 105 as of this morning, minus 2.5 games for the Boston Celtics at minus 105. I think that's perfectly playable at a small minus price like that. But I just think, regardless of Embiid's status, I think this is a series that very much works in the Celtics' favor.
I wonder if there's this, a potential misnomer here where you look at how the Celtics failed to at least originally close out Atlanta in that series. But you think about how just different of a matchup this is.
Yeah.
You go from Atlanta to Philadelphia where the Hawks were able to be that little thorn pesky team in the side of the Celtics because they just go into a three-point shooting contest. You get DeJounte Murray going off in a game. Trae Young had his traditional ups and downs. But now you transition that. I don't think it's really logical to say, well, the Celts kind of struggled closing out a very shaky team at the bottom of the Eastern Conference, so maybe they'll be vulnerable here because it's a totally different matchup.
Well, and I think there's two points to rebut on that, right? The first of which is, if you actually watch those games, my takeaway was a lot of that had to do with Boston kind of going, all right, we're up to nothing. We smoked them. Like, because there was, I thought it was a nice little microcosm of what Boston was doing. I think it was game five. It might have been game six. But there was a sequence where off of a made free throw, the Atlanta Hawks get the ball, inbound it, and sprint down court. And Jason Tatum's like jogging, and he turns to look. And like Trae Young's like right here. He's like, oh, what the hell? And of course, they get a transition bucket. Like, it was kind of like this lazy nonchalant, like, we have control of this series. Let's just get out of here. And the Hawks, to their credit, who are better under Quinn Snyder, took advantage of that. And they extended that series out. But you saw at the end of game six when they closed it, when they decided to finally kind of put the clamps down and play like they wanted to, immediately extended that lead out, ended up covering the game, closing out the series. I think this is a Boston team that's going to be very focused for what they want to do here to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Because think about it from this perspective, too. Again, you should always be focused, Ben, but it's hard to do that. But you have an opportunity to end a series quickly and wait for what we're assuming is going to be a slobber knocker bloodbath in the other side of the bracket between Miami and New York. And you could sit back and wait. I mean, look at Philly. They've had 8 days of rest getting into this series. You want to be that team if you're Boston, and you have an opportunity to be that team if you end this quickly.
No doubt. And it's a situation now where, with the market coming down a little bit today, 9.5 is your consensus number. Total has gone up a point with this thought that potentially Joel Embiid could suit up tonight. 214.5 is now the number, up from 213.5 about 24 hours ago. 66 games, the number of games that Joel Embiid played, by the way.
66, yeah. So I'm willing to bet 60 of those he was listed as questionable.
Right.
Huh?
Just anecdotally, I would say you're probably within about a half game to a game of that number, just from watching it throughout the course of the season. That is the first of the doubleheader tonight. Game two in the Western semi also gets underway tonight. Phoenix trying to make some sort of adjustments against the Denver Nuggets, who win going away in game one. But you sort of wonder, how many adjustments can you really make when you know your team is already centered around two key pieces who looked really good in game one, but you just got nothing out of the rest of the cast?
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of things that are interesting about this matchup, right? The first of which is, again, and this kind of played out in the first series against Los Angeles, and this is what the Suns are going to be up against as they kind of move forward. It is the simple math game of, we are going to take more threes than you, we're going to make more threes than you, and then the other aspects of the games, we just have to win one or two of those battles. 15 of 30 from three-point range in that game one for Denver, non-garbage time. 6 of 19 for Phoenix, okay?
Yep.
So that is something that is going to be, that's going to be an advantage. Now, are they going to make 50% of their shots again? No. But are they going to take more threes and probably make more threes? Yes. So that's an advantage that works in the Denver Nuggets' favor. Jamal Murray is an extremely underrated playoff performer, as we saw in game one. And the Nuggets do have a little bit more depth. And credit to Denver. One of the big questions you had about Denver coming into this postseason was the non-Jokic minutes. What does this bench do when Jokic is not out there? They have a net rating of plus 26.9 without Jokic on the floor in this postseason. They did great against Minnesota. They won the minutes against Phoenix in game one. And if this bench is going to continue to perform like that, you know, not just hit a bunch of threes, but just play well, now you're talking about a Phoenix team, as you mentioned, Ben, has their two players playing about 44 minutes a game. In altitude in the fourth quarter of these games, how does that play out when you're at about 38 minutes already heading into the final quarter of play? And look at what happened to the fourth quarter of that last one. They won and covered the fourth quarter spread, and they ran away with it, the Denver Nuggets did. So I'm really interested in that in-game aspect of, as we enter the fourth quarter of this second game, what are the minutes load looks like for Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, and will they consistently struggle in these fourth quarters on the road? Because altitude kind of negates itself when you're talking about series, because you spend your time up there, you practice, you get days off up there, so you kind of get used to it. But when you're talking about playing 40-plus minutes a game and getting into the fourth quarter of these high-leverage affairs, that's got to be tough.
Oh, no doubt. And it's a situation where like Durant and you have a teammate as well in Devin Booker, they still combined. I mean, it was solid. It was 56 points in 76 minutes overall. Yep. But the bench minutes, it was Denver 37, Phoenix 19 in the second quarter,
yep,
largely when Nikola Jokic was off the floor. And it's interesting, though, how the market really hasn't changed from game one to game two, where you saw that late steam for Denver Saturday night, got from 4 to 4.5 at close. Total goes over the 228 or so range, but we're pretty much at the same spot for game two. I'm curious your thoughts like on the first half line, where if you're taking the altitude and maybe the fourth quarter issues and just wearing down, if you're playing almost every minute for those Phoenix Stars out of it, you expect Phoenix to come out and maybe make more of an assertive attempt to get more threes up. If you're Monty Williams and you watch what just happened in the box score and also how that game flow played out, and you go, all right, maybe a first half look either to the over or just Phoenix in general is the way to go about this?
I mean, no, because look what happened in the Clippers series. Like, they didn't really adjust in the Clippers series either. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they know where their bread is buttered. And if you look at some of the last few games, did they shoot a few more? Yes. But the last few games for them against the Clippers, 22 three-point attempts to 36 for the Clippers. 35 for the Clippers to 26 for the Suns. These are the last three games. 35 for the Clippers, 26 for the Suns. That's still just going to be part of what they do. And anecdotally, do I buy into wanting to look at the Suns getting off to a better start? Sure. But I was asked that question on Twitter yesterday. My thing is always, unless you've got a really solid angle and or edge, I would want more possessions for my bet to play out, right?
Because
variance can happen over the course of two quarters.
Completely. And especially with a series like this that we've only seen a little bit of as far as the sample size so far, and Denver has looked very, very solid. Series price has now flipped to -170 here on the Nuggets. They've flipped to the favorite to come out of the Western Conference. You were on Denver pre-series, so you're in a good position right now. Is there at what point would there even be the buy spot on Phoenix? Because you still have the baked-in pre-series number. You're only getting +140 down 1-0, and you don't have home court for the Suns.
I mean, look, so this is coming from somebody who took a small piece of the Clippers in that series against Phoenix and bet against them here. I don't think there is a point. I think they're overvalued by the betting market.
Yeah.
And I think you can actually make the stronger case that Denver, with home court up 1-0, should be more of a favorite than $1.70. I think the case you're making here is actually lay $1.70 with the Nuggets as opposed to taking $1.40 with the Suns.
And you could also make a case, if you think this goes south quickly for Phoenix,
right,
an under 5.5 where you're getting still nearly $2,
yep,
right now.
Yeah.
Could be an alternate way to look at that as well. I saw the points rebounds prop is 38.5 or so for Nikola Jokic, had 43 in game one. That could be an interesting angle if you believe Denver continues to have a good success in that matchup against the Phoenix Suns tonight. We'll talk more NBA, also some NHL playoffs. Man, what a big upset day yesterday was, as Thomas Gable, Race and Sportsbook Director at the Borgata, joins us next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There is a lot to bet on in the next 30 days, and for a limited time, you can subscribe to VSiN for only $9.99. That gets you insight into daily baseball best bets, NBA and NHL playoffs, and VSiN's upcoming Kentucky Derby betting guide. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Also, a top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. I'm Ben. He's John. We have Thomas Gable from the Borgata with us right now, as we do most Mondays here on the Lombardi Line. And I'm excited for the Kentucky Derby week we talked about, JBT.
Mm-hmm.
Hosting our Kentucky Derby betting preview show on VSiN Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern with Sean King. Excited for that. And I know TG out on the East Coast there at the Borgata. TG, you're getting excited for the Derby as well, right?
Oh, yeah. We're ready for it. It's kind of like Easter Sunday here for us. So it's one of the busiest days of the year. So we're all set for it.
Saturday, can't wait for the Derby. I believe that is 6:57 p.m. Eastern post time, John. So you're going to be you'll be coming right off the air.
Oh, really? Is that late? I thought it was 2. Oh, that's a bummer. I thought it was going to be live for it.
No,
all right.
No.
You'll get
3 hours of, yeah, of lead up where they tell the life story of every single jockey and horse known to man. So you
can't
can cover all that. Thomas, we were just talking NBA playoffs here, and we'll get into the NHL as well. But what an exciting a couple of days it was over the weekend. We have all of our semifinal rounds now either set or a game in. What was the most notable thing you saw, at least if we talk just from the Warriors and now Lakers perspective, with this big heavyweight matchup here as the Dubs finally get find a way to get it done in Game 7? What's been the initial move there in the betting interest with two of the big superstars in the game now going at it in the West semis?
Yeah, I think for me, it's the series price right now. You know, and you're seeing some variance there in the market. You know, you're seeing some places, I think DraftKings is at $1.45 on the Warriors, and then you have places as high as 165 on the Warriors. We're right in the middle at 155. So I actually lean more towards that this is a little bit overpriced, that it's a little bit too expensive there on the Warriors. Now, they do have home court advantage, obviously. But, I mean, the Kings, they gave it a go. Now, the Warriors did come out. They were able to prove that they could win on the road, which was kind of the big knock against them coming into the playoffs this year. So it's going to be an interesting series between these two. Obviously, the Lakers, you know, out where you guys are, there's always kind of this Lakers tax because the Lakers are so heavily bet out in Las Vegas. We don't really see that here so much on the East Coast. Now, in terms of the future liability for us, the Warriors are a liability to come out of the West, and they're also a liability to win the NBA title. So Lakers are actually a very good scenario for us. If the Lakers can somehow get to the NBA Finals, that's a great case for us, as well as Denver is a very good result for us as well if they can get there.
Thomas, you talk about like the Lakers tax not being that existent. What about just popularity? I figured that this would be the most bet on series, like game to game, overall handle, especially out here on the West Coast. Would that be the same for you out there on the East Coast, just the star power, Steph Curry, LeBron, Warriors, Lakers, or maybe not so far out there?
Yeah, no, it is JVT. I equate it to like kind of the Cowboys or the Packers in the NFL. That, you know, they're a very public team no matter where you go in the country, and the series will be a heavily bet series. It's going to be probably the most watched series of the playoffs. So, you know, we obviously have still, you know, two quote unquote local teams out here going in the East with the Knicks and the Sixers. But yeah, I mean, the Lakers would get bet no matter where you are. And now, obviously, Curry and company there with Golden State, I mean, they're a name brand, as big of a name brand in the NBA as well at this point.
Again, Thomas Gable from the Borgata joining us right now. It is the Lombardi Line here on VSiN. Talking all things NBA playoffs on a Monday morning here on the West Coast. As far as the Boston-Philadelphia series, you would think normally kind of in the same vein as the Lakers-Warriors, like those are two big teams, big followings on the East Coast. You'd see a pretty high handle. But how much has that been reduced now with Joel Embiid's injury, with a very big spread? Celtics near a $5 favorite there, TG.
Yeah, I mean, we're actually taking Celtics money. And, you know, you saw the number move in that series yesterday. I mean, yesterday morning you could have grabbed around 350 on the Celtics, and now it's up closer to $5 today. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say this. For those who don't really follow the Sixers closely and how they do things, obviously Embiid has been hurt for playoffs in previous years as well. If you go back and look to see when he has been listed as questionable or doubtful or even ruled out, there have been a number of times where he has played, even though he's been designated, as doubtful. So would it surprise me tonight a great deal if he plays? No, it would not. Now, you've seen already this line come down a little bit today. The Celtics, you know, this morning we're laying double digits, and now it's pretty much 9.5. And it really moved within the last 90 minutes, an hour or so, when news started to come out there. He got an injection of plasma into his knee. There was a video that came out of him at shoot around in Boston without a knee brace on. Now, he wasn't doing much in the video. He was just kind of shooting some jumpers from around the top of the key there, but not really moving. But I think that video enough, you know, got some people talking and their possibility. And again, when you go back and look at the Sixers' history here of how they have designated Embiid in the past, it really doesn't mean a whole lot. So, I would not be surprised if he does play. Now, if he does, how effective is he going to be? you know, that's the other piece of this whole puzzle. But we know that the Sixers are well rested. We've seen James Harden on a nice vacation in Vegas and Atlantic City, so he's got a lot of R&R in this past week. So hopefully he's ready to go. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be up to the Sixers role players here. It's going to be up to, and I think Doc is probably going to go with a smaller lineup a lot of times, where you'll see Tucker kind of move into that five spot. But, you know, otherwise, if Embiid doesn't go, it's going to be Paul Reed at the center. And I think the surrounding cast there has gotten more comfortable playing with Reed. They were, at the beginning of the season, a lot of the guys were down him because of the number of mistakes he would make and mistakes would compound with him. He has cut back on those dramatically. I think there's a more level of comfort that exists now that wasn't there in the beginning of the year with Reed. But, I mean, it's going to be Harris and Maxey and the other guys are really going to have to step up here.
Yeah, and Doc Rivers, Thomas, as you know, more than willing to play those games as well when it came to Joel Embiid's injuries throughout the regular season. So very well spoken on the cloak and dagger stuff the 76ers have pulled all year long with Embiid. Let's go to the other injury. How are you guys handling Miami and New York? We were talking about this earlier. I think you're kind of going in with the mindset with 3 days between games two and three that the Heat are more than willing to rest Jimmy Butler if he's even close to questionable. Is that how you guys are seeing it?
Yeah, I believe so, and why not? If you're the Heat, it makes total sense there. And you know, Butler has been the reason that they are where they are right now. So would make total sense if they do play it a little bit cautious here and rest him. And you've seen the line move now pretty much up to seven everywhere, with the Knicks laying it for tomorrow night.
Again, Thomas Gable from the Borgata joining us right now on the Lombardi Line. Let's transition, TG, to the NHL playoffs. You get the two big underdogs, especially with the Florida Panthers knocking out favorites in Game 7's historic collapse for Boston, leading 3-1 as the President's Trophy winners. How has that shaken up the whole futures market, and what has that done on your liability, at least from your end there at the Borgata?
Well, it was very big. Now, in this, for the series price, you know, as far as decisions as what the NHL series goes, probably the biggest decision we had was in the Leafs and the Lightning series. Which didn't go our way. There really wasn't too much of a decision in that Bruins series, but what it did do was eliminate all that Boston liability. In fact, we had a guy, I think maybe 2 weeks ago, come in, put down $50,000 on them to win the cup. Like, I guess he got around plus 350 or something at the time, what they were around. So, I mean, they were by far, you know, our biggest liability to win the cup just because of how they looked all year. I mean, they had one of the all-time great seasons in NHL regular season history. So to have them eliminated was huge in terms of the future book. You know, we'll see now what happens there in the East. But yeah, I mean, the NHL playoffs, the game seven tonight, this has been the big series for us, obviously, kind of with two local teams again kind of going at it, where these games between the Rangers and the Devils, there have been times where they've outhandled NBA playoff games. So there's a very strong fan base in this area for both the Rangers and the Devils. Rangers would be a better result for us to come out of this series, but we'll see how it goes tonight in Game 7.
Now, pretty much a pick 'em tonight. Devils the slightest of favorites there at home in Game 7. Again, he is Thomas Gable, director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata. TG, as always, great to catch up to you, the man. Appreciate the time.
All right, thank you, guys.
At least that $50,000 bet, JBT, makes you feel better about my Bucks minus 190 series bet when they were up 2-1, I just filed away in the pantheon of all-time losing bets.
Yeah, you're all right.
But
feel good.
I did not throw $50,000 on it. So if I did, I probably wouldn't be.
But that's just a half unit for you.
Yeah, for sure. Then in that case, I played like 1,000 of a unit, definitely. All right, hour number two, Lombardi Line coming up with Von Dalzell next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, laces up with a playoff parlay insurance offer. Place a one-game parlay of four legs or more and get back a bonus bet up to $25 if you miss one leg. Enjoy the playoffs like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and parlay selection features throughout the postseason. Log in now or sign up and opt in to get back up to $25 in bonus bets if one leg in your one-game parlay falls short. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 and over, new customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. Ben Wilson back with Jonathan Von Tobel. And pour one out for Stormy, by the way. Did you see she had the series price parlay?
No, what was it?
It was a four-leg NHL series price parlay, and all four of her teams had 3-1 series leads, and she put up a poll on Twitter going, which one of these blows it? Boston Bruins got like 4% of the vote.
Nice.
Boston blows it 3-1.
Wow.
Like, what are you going to do?
That's tough.
What are you going to do? That's a historic collapse. Sorry, yep. Stormy. That's really too bad. What a shame. Anyway, we move on with more NBA and some MLB insights here. We have MLB, actually, the Monday card starts in about 20 minutes with the Mets and Braves. They've been washed out the last 2 days, so they have a doubleheader. And we'll talk some baseball here coming up, as well as NBA playoffs with Vaughn Dalzell, NBC Sports Edge betting analyst. Great to see you as always, Vaughn. We have a couple of good NBA games on the docket for tonight. How are you attacking this Miami, going ahead to tomorrow here with this Miami and Heat situation, or Miami and Knicks situation, with the Jimmy Butler injury and all the uncertainties surrounding that series?
Yeah, I'm definitely, thanks for having me, by the way, guys. Definitely excited to be back here. And it's going to be a good day of sports. I'm glad we got day baseball, because you hate whenever it's a weekday and we don't have anything worth watching. But for the Heat and Knicks series, this is one I'm probably going to have to jump on pretty early, because if Jimmy Butler is rolled out, I expect a lot of these numbers to change. The Knicks spread may move a little bit, but I'm looking more at the over-unders. When I say that, I think the under could move down, as well as the team totals. And you saw Miami really struggled in the first half of game one. 21 points in the first quarter before they went on a little late run there to get to 50 points, trailing by 5 at the half. We know Knicks, the best against the spread team in the first half of the NBA. They're also the second best against the spread when it comes to being the home team in the first half. So those are really the angles of how I'm looking at this game. The Heat's right now at 15.5 points for the first half. That may seem really low, but depending on what line you got in that last Knicks game, they are 6-0 to the first half unders this season. So that is a train that I think is still worth riding. And at 110 for the first half total, I think that's definitely where I'm probably going to put my money, is going under that, or at least the Miami Heat team total under.
All right, let's go to the other one. I'm really interested. We're talking about the games later today. First off, how are you approaching 76ers and the Joel Embiid situation? You just kind of guessing like, hey, you know what? Screw it. He might play. Let's go here.
Yeah, he might play. He was at shoot around today, and I know it definitely seems, the doubtful tag is there for a reason. But we've seen Joel Embiid play in past series whenever he's had these injury tags. He's played through meniscus tears and different things in his ankles or fingers. He's been banged up his whole career, and he hasn't been a guy that's played much in the second round. But you look back at historically, these two teams have met a lot. The Celtics swept the Sixers a few years back, and then back in 2017, Celtics won 4-1 and Embiid played in both those series, and he was also banged up. But you look at what the Sixers role players have done. I know it was the Nets, but you got Harris averaging 20, Maxey 21, Harden with a 17-8-5 line. They definitely have enough firepower to get the Celtics. And the Celtics, to be honest, they're the least dangerous, I think, in game ones. They're 3-3 in game ones in their last six of those. And this tag of minus 10 is pretty lofty. I know it's because Embiid's real doubtful, but I'm going to take a flyer here on the Sixers plus the 10. If Embiid's in, obviously, this looks a lot better. But I think there is potential here for the Sixers to stick around.
At the very least, Vaughn, good number since that has come down. 9.5, 9. And if it is Embiid, you would think JVT probably closes, this opens 6.5. So probably, 7?
If Embiid plays? Yeah, 7.5. Yeah. You probably knock the rating a bit, right, Vaughn, considering that he's not fully healthy. So,
yeah, makes sense. So, Vaughn taking a stab. I like it.
Yeah, I think this spread's pretty on point. Boston's won 4 games by 8-8, 13-13 this year. All the times they've played the Sixers in the playoffs and they've won, they've been by mostly single-digit games. These two teams just know each other very well. The couple of guys that used to play for each other's teams, too. So I think it's just going to be a competitive series all around, and whether or not Joel Embiid plays or not.
As far as the other action, at least we go to tonight here in the nightcap, Suns and Nuggets, make the case for Suns getting off to a better start, at least trying to make some adjustments and look better than they did game one in that blowout loss to Denver.
Yeah, that was a tough second quarter for the Suns. The first quarter, they looked great. I had the Nuggets first quarter and first half money lines. The first quarter lost by 1. because the Suns made a run there at the end before the Nuggets just totally took over. And this game, I think it may have something to do with the altitude in the first quarter. That was kind of my angle of liking the Nuggets early. In the NBA playoffs, I'm sure a lot of people come in here and tell you guys all about that zigzag theory, going from one team to the other, taking the loser in the next game. And that is kind of how I approach the NBA for the most part. A team like the Celtics we just talked about, they're much better to bet on coming off a loss. They're already 2-0 ATS on the money line. Last year, they went on a ridiculous run coming off losses as well in the postseason. So that's kind of how I approach betting the Celtics. For the Suns here, this is a very talented team that I expect to be in the NBA Finals. So I do think there's a bounce-back game here. But I like the first half plus 2.5 for the Suns. I lean that team total over 54.5. I think they're going to come with a better game plan. And every time a team struggles coming out the gate in the first or second quarter and they go down the series, that's normally the angle of attack I like approaching that team in game two. With Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, all these veterans, I like the Suns here in the first half at least, and I'll approach them how I need to in the second half.
All right, let's stay with the Western Conference then. We get the series price opener. Some spots are pretty low, $1.20 in favor of the Golden State Warriors. Other spots as high as minus 145. What do you expect in this matchup, and first thoughts on what the series is going to look like here?
I mean, I'm definitely in a toss-up for game one here. This may be the only game that I'm probably going to pass on here in the next couple of days. From a spread standpoint, I want to take the over at 228 because I don't really believe in the Lakers' defense. And there's going to be a lot of mismatches here. Kevon Looney has been an outstanding guy down low with the reboundings the past two seasons in the playoffs, or past two times appearances in the playoffs, I should say, for the Warriors. But I definitely think that this is going to be another elongated series. I think the NBA is going to want this one to go six or seven games. This is probably who they wanted out of everybody. But in the player prop market, it's probably the way I would attack this if I do bet this game. Steph Curry has just been outstanding. I mean, I don't see him slowing down. Him 30 points in a same game parlay of the Warriors spread has been kind of how I approached a lot of these games. Last game, I had 30 points in the Warriors plus 10. That was pretty laughable. So I think that might be a way that I approach this game once again. I think the best discount is on the player props. I don't think this side is something I want to touch in game one.
What was the number you saw the Kevon Looney thing, JVT, where Sacramento had, they had their, one of their beat reporters just getting raked through the coals for saying Looney versus Sabonis would not even be close?
At Sabonis being taken out of a series by Kevon Looney. And obviously we know that that is totally the case.
Kind of. That kind of happened. Vaughn Dalzell, you can give him a follow at VMoney Sports. Betting analyst there for NBC Sports joining us right now here on the Lombardi Line. Before we let you out of here, Vaughn, let's transition to Major League Baseball. There is some day baseball again about to start. Spencer Strider, a huge favorite here in the first of that doubleheader for the Braves and the Mets. But for later tonight, Yankees a little bit banged up. Aaron Judge likely out of the lineup. Domingo Herman goes there for the Yankees against the Cleveland Guardians here. So even though the Yankees are favored, you have Cal Quantrill on the mound tonight. How are you looking at this one in the Bronx?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I mean, I've seen a lot of the draft bet splits, or a lot of the DraftKings FanDuel bet splits have a lot of people taking the Yankees here on the money line. And there's a lot of red flags. I mean, they're obviously banged up, but the last time Herman went against the Guardians, he walked five batters, had no strikeouts, only lasted three innings, almost 90 pitches. And he's just a guy I'm not very confident in backing, especially as a favorite, opposed to Cal Quantrill, who really thrives as a dog. But on the road this year, they are 3-0 on the money line when he pitches in those games. And last year, he pitched pretty well, allowed six hits and three earned runs against New York, went 6.1 innings. I think that he can do similar results here, but a little better against an injury-riddled lineup. So I'm going to fade the Yankees here and take the Guardians plus 110 on the money line. If you can get them on the run line around plus 1.5, minus 150 or better, I'd also approach that, because a lot of the series games that these teams have played, it's been a one-run series or one-run final here, and they're both on losing streaks. So I think this will be a great game, but I'm winning with the underdog here.
Seeing the best run line price right now, minus 160 in the market, but you can get Guardians as high as $1.25-$1.26, Vaughn. So it'll be a good way to like sweat that out a Monday of the baseball card. JVT and I over here, we're complaining about our fantasy teams early because, you know, that's
right. Let's get this Braves thing on, because I've got Matt Olson. He's got a doubleheader. Let's go.
Let's go. JVT, you're about to move up six spots today in your Roto League. Just on Matt Olson alone. All right, Vaughn, great to see you as always. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you, and best of luck today.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, I'm sitting here like going through the waiver wire, like who can I add? Who can I add? When you're in a deep league that's got keepers and a dynasty, the answer is usually not many guys, JVT.
I just pick them up. You know. I will not admit to maybe doing that throughout the show.
That's fine. We're looking at, I mean, that's part of betting. We're looking at lines.
Tell you what, man, players. Ezekiel Duran for Texas has been playing well since Seager's been out. Just saying.
Okay. There you go. Dropping little nuggets all over the place. So thanks to Thomas Gable and Von Dalzell for hour number one. Our guests will have Thor Nystrom, Mike Pritchard coming up in hour number two as we dive into our thoughts on the NFL draft, our favorite and least favorite draft classes when we return to the Lombardi Line.